My Instagram and my TikTok are full of property reels.
What can you get in Dubai for $650,000?
The most expensive home for sale.
Expensive penthouse.
I rest my case.
And do you make these as well?
No, not yet.
What are things that we need to know as buyers?
The property that you're looking.
Can customers be wise and spot a scam?
Initially, seller could have like umpteen agents working on his property.
So how much does it cost to be Ronaldo's neighbor? Wow. Yeah. Hello and welcome. This is Hey Karish. I'm your host, Karishma. And, you know, we were discussing how we can make this podcast more authentically Dubai episode after episode. And we realized, hey, wait a minute. The most authentically Dubai thing to do is to talk about property. And so we have a very special guest on the show today. Hey, Sovi.
Hey, Karish.
How are you doing?
Well.
Is the mic feeling comfortable for you? I see you leaning into it. Are you comfortable?
Totally okay. Totally.
Yeah, you're doing okay?
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
Slightly.
A little bit. Thank you so much
podcast.
For coming out here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Actually, Sobi, you and Chandran and I have a very special connection with this
Absolutely.
House. Because one morning, while Chandran and I were house hunting, I remember he messages me saying, you know, first he told me, you know, I'm feeling like we're not going to find the right house because we had looked and looked and looked. And then he messages me, you know, a link from Property Finder or Dubizzle or something. He sends me a link to a property and he tells me, I think we found it, you know, and then he spoke to you and then we drive down here. This is the home that we saw that you showed us.
True.
And we were immediately convinced that we had found home, you know, our together home. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey since then. So that's how we got to know you,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, of course. You guys were the best clients, dream clients. One viewing and I sold the house.
Oh gosh.
But the key is I got you what you wanted, right?
You
I
did.
Mean, it ticked off all boxes.
It did check all the boxes, you know, and I think it was nice that we were dealing with someone who was an honest person because I'll be honest, it's scary sometimes. The kind of, you know, people that are out there that you don't know you're calling directly from some, you know, website or some app. You're just picking up your phone. You're talking to complete strangers, hoping that they're going to be on your side when you're making deals like this, buying a home. So it is important, I think, for a customer to find a real estate person, a realtor that actually can be trusted. Right. How long have you been doing this?
So I've been in real estate for 12 years now. And yeah, like you said, you have to ensure that the real estate person you're dealing with has a registered brokerage that they're associated with and they have a broker license. And it's good to find someone who is a community specialist, you know, someone who is in the community, living in the community. It's easier for them to, you know, answer all your queries. So it's it's difficult, but then there are many good agents out there, you know, they do a good job.
What do you mean when you say community specialist?
For me, for instance, I stay in the community, but I do mainly secondary market sales more than off-plan. So what happens with a property that's lived in, you're already dealing with the community, the kind of people that are living in the community, the you know the pros and cons. So you can guide a client properly once you are, you know, a specialist in a community. You can tell them about minute details that, you know, hidden details that probably other people won't be able to come out with.
That makes sense, actually. So you said you've been doing this for 12 years, all the time in Dubai?
Yes, in Dubai, yeah.
What would you say is the biggest change or growth of this market from 12 years ago to today? What is something that you can stand back and say, yeah, that really changed?
I mean, I guess 12 years ago, there was a little bit of hesitation in terms of investing here. So for me, real estate is probably the most strongest, safest long-term investment one can do for themselves. So 12 years ago, everybody was a little apprehensive with freehold and there was freehold, leasehold, and now off-plan has come into the picture. But I feel like over a period of time now, people have realized, especially after COVID, it's much more lucrative to buy a property than invest it in rentals or pay that kind of mortgage and rentals. So it's better to own a property rather than, you know, stay on rent. So the progress has gradually, you know, it's going towards
purchase. Towards buying.
Yeah, buying.
So, you know, 2012, that's about 12 years ago from today.
Yeah.
I remember when I came here to the UAE, it was 2008. The following year was the big crash of the markets worldwide, and everything had fallen to unexpected, never seen before kind of lows. And then I think, like you mentioned, COVID, which struck again 2020, so about a good 8-10 years apart.
Yes, yes.
That recession that had happened in 2009-2010, property prices had fallen quite a bit even then.
Yes.
And similarly during COVID as well.
Right.
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 But this trend of buying over renting has largely happened because people were sitting at home during COVID, I'm assuming, right?
100%. So the COVID, the minute people were locked into their small homes and they realized, you know, life is too short. Yeah, might as well just invest in something, you know, where you have some garden space. So the shift from apartments to townhouses and villas gradually progressed from there. And then we had Expo 2020, which kind of catapulted our Dubai. You know, everybody was, so much of foreign investment came into the market.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Britons, Russia, China, a lot of people moving in here, relocating here.
The war as well?
Yes, yes. Yeah. For sure, yeah.
And there's definitely been a lot of millionaire migration in the last few years.
Yes.
I think from China, from Russia, from a whole lot of
India. Yeah.
And is it true that there are a lot more younger Indians picking up properties today?
Yes, a lot of, you know, millennials and, you know, a lot of young families now no longer interested in paying that kind of rent because rentals have gone high, right? So you're paying quite a bit for a property now. So when you convert it, the interest rates have dropped with banks. So it makes more sense to buy and own the property now.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, over the years that I've lived here, I've seen all sorts of scams being pulled. I've seen people who have bought properties trying to pull whatever chota mota scam they can to avoid paying this charge, that charge, you know. But I've also seen estate agents posting fake listings, developers sometimes making promises that is difficult to deliver on, it looks like. If we focus just on scams coming out of the real estate market, how can customers be wise and spot a fake or spot a scam?
So the real estate has developed. Like you were asking me, what's the difference now? So initially, a seller could have like umpteen agents working on his property. There was no regulation. There was fake pictures, fake advertisements. So now a lot of websites are really, you know, narrowing it down.
Yeah.
We have True Check on Bayut.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's a brilliant thing, initiative, you know, because that kind of every month an agent has to go into the house and take a picture of them standing inside the property.
Really?
Yeah, to verify that this is still active and it's still available. So True Check from Bayut, verified properties in Property Finder is another way to look for our units that are verified, you know, because they have you know, certain criteria that has to be met, and then only you get the verified listing. So these are certain precautions that the market is taking.
All right. And now when you actually go to a viewing, or, you know, you want to go see houses, what are things that we need to know as buyers? What are things we need to look at when you're in a house before you actually decide, yeah, I found the one and this is the one I'm going to buy?
So the main thing is the property that you're looking, or you've narrowed down, for instance, you need to have a registered title deed on the property. You have to ensure that the property is registered in Dubai Land Department. You have to ensure that the brokerage you're dealing with is a certified brokerage company. Also, one thing that Dubai hasn't really caught on is survey, property survey. It's very common in US and Canada and stuff, but here it's not yet caught on that phase of, you know, doing property survey. But if you invest in property survey, which would cost you anywhere between 5 to maybe 15,000. It'll give you a detailed idea about your expenses that you're going to incur when you buy a property. You'll know exactly how many ACs not working, because these are secondary market sales.
Yeah.
Properties are already like over 10 to 12 years, you know, minimum I'm talking about. So this will help you gauge your expenses.
Hmm.
Very important to have approvals. If there are properties now, several of them are sold with extension, upgraded. This is the in thing right now. Where everybody is having an upgraded house, which is renovated and sold. So very important to have the papers in place, the approvals, the NOCs for them. You need NOC from DDA, DM, and even from the developer.
Wow.
So you need to ensure you have these documents before you actually go in, you know, go in and put your money down.
Do we have all these documents for this house? I don't even know. So who took care of all this?
No, in those days it was a little more relaxed, but yes, today they are really narrowing down on all of this. All developers, whatever permissions have to be there in paper. Otherwise they come after you. You will get a notice from Dubai municipality if they come for a check.
So I know you deal, Sobi, largely with the resale market, right? But between buying properties that are off plan and picking up something that is, secondary sale, what is something that you would recommend? Between this and this, here are the things you should look out for.
So off plan is a dream house, right? It's something, a castle in the air. The developers you have to look out for are, there are many who are blacklisted. So when you buy off plan, very important to know with whom you're buying it.
They are blacklisted.
Some of them are blacklisted for not giving it on time, defaults, whatever reason.
But they're still allowed to sell if they're blacklisted? Or they're still selling. They're not allowed to sell, but they're selling.
They are selling, but obviously they've come out of it for whatever reason. But I would first ensure that the developer I'm dealing with is stable. He's got a good track record.
Yeah.
And payment plan is something that is really catching on now because it's relaxed, right? You're not paying a lump sum together. So you have 3 years to slowly pay it off, but you have to be very wary about the sizes you're buying. So a lot of thing on paper might seem bigger than usual. So it's very important that you realize what you're buying. The plots are quite tiny in some of the houses.
Yeah.
So you have to be sure if that's what you want. A lot of secondary market is still selling with bigger plot sizes. So it's more, it is land value at the end of it, right? You have more land.
In terms of the buyer's profile today, is it more families buying homes? Is it more single people buying homes? What is that trend like?
It's a bit of both. I would say a lot of families and a lot of end users. A lot of them looking to move in. So that's another thing you have to really look out for. If the property is rented, you do a little bit of due diligence, like in case you have to serve an eviction notice, and it's a 365-day eviction notice that you serve. You ensure that you are aware of these things, that a tenant has the right to stay on for that long. And there is a gray area with notices now. So sometimes you will have to give another notice as a new owner to the tenant, which is another 365 days. So you have to be sure of all these things before you purchase it.
Now, Sobi, I know when Chandran and I met you, we were instantly in love with the house. And so we even came down to your house to meet you, to convince you
true.
To only sell the house to us. And you followed through on that. You came through on that. But I'm sure you must have had some pretty interesting experiences over the years, no?
Yeah, there are some that I remember, especially when I was a newbie, a rookie. So when I started viewings with various agents, when you're new, you're just not on your own. You sometimes network with other agents and you try selling a property through someone else. So I had this client contact me on a property website 12 years ago, and something just wasn't right. When I went to the property, I met up with him, this typical gelled, clean goatee, clear-cut shaven guy standing there with a, blazer and trousers. It had everything written for a real estate agent, stamped on him there, but I couldn't place it at that point. And he actually asked me to show him about 8 to 9 houses, and innocent as I was then, I actually did that. And later I realized he's one of those very prominent agencies here in the villa, who works in a very prominent agency here in the villa. He's one of the agents. Huh. And he just wanted to know which are the units that I have so that he could contact the owners directly.
No.
Yeah, and I was like so naive. It actually took him for like viewings and explaining the house. And he's like, yeah, the only thing I could see him note was the villa numbers. And yeah, so now you live and learn. You figure these things out.
So slowly. How do you know if someone... Oh, so you got scammed?
Yeah, I got scammed.
Gosh. So how do you as a real estate agent make sure that the person who's calling you is an actual customer?
I think it comes just naturally now. You realize over a period of time, some of them are just, you know, you can make out when it's another agent who's just taking you for a ride. And then I was quite innocent. Hmm. Yeah, but it was... Now I see the guy.
Yeah.
Every now and then I bump into him and I'm like... I know you.
So have you ever confronted him about this?
He laughs. I laugh. We see each other at land department during transfers sometimes. And he also, I mean, it's a learning curve. I mean, he actually taught me a lesson.
Wow. Okay. All right. So if you had to say a really difficult sale of yours that you thought was just, it was just too difficult to pull off, too frustrating, what would that be like?
So there are a lot of people who come into the market who want something big, right? A mansion but a lot of them have limitations with payments. Obviously, a big house costs a lot. So they all come out with this whole concept of rent to own. Like, can I, buy it, pay a certain percentage and make this very, 4-5 month MOU where I pay up in installments. And that is one thing I've realized, it's better to stay away.
Yeah.
You know, and that can just backfire so badly. Because you may pay and then you may realize after a couple of years that this is not for you. You don't want to have a property like this. Maybe it's not the right home. And then when you want to pull out, there are so many legal issues in that. And an agent is the one who actually gets, bombarded in the end. So I've realized over a period of time, it's better to go clean cut, a proper MOU, certain time frame. Make sure that the money is exchanged only at the land department when the title deed is with you. So over a period of time, yeah, some of those deals have been tough.
See, for me as an outsider to the real estate world, I would imagine that any realtor is exposed to large sums of money being transacted regularly. Am I right in this? Am I wrong in this? What is the biggest transaction you've seen happen?
So I do secondary market. So I'm looking at... properties in the 13 to 15 million range.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, in the secondary market in the area that I live in. Because I focus in one area, I do get constant clients and constant sales. Unlike putting my finger into 10 different areas, then it's very difficult for you to master different locations, go to different, be there for different clients in different areas. So this really helps me.
You know, you're the only agent that I know that actually has mastered in one area. I think there's one other person I know and he specializes in Cedar and Sema, those villas in Dubai Silicon Oasis. And he does nothing else but those villas. And then there's you. I think every other real estate agent I know does everything. Why would you want to do only one?
So I need to know what's happening in Dubai, but it's convenience for me. You know, right now, I am busy the whole day from 9 to 6:30.
You even are making your millions, so you don't really need to drive outside the community.
So I've sold the same house over and over and over again, like sometimes even 3 times, the same property. But that's because you form a relationship with these people over the years, you know, like you know them when they were newbies, they just came, you set them up with their first home, like you.
Yeah.
And I know one day when you sell, you'll call me again. So it's that relationship you form with your clients. So I'm very comfortable at this space.
Yeah.
I would love to get into off plan and, you know, that's where there is more money.
Yeah.
You're dealing with big developers. And yes, I mean, I do have some luxurious properties, but I'm not saying it right now.
No.
I've learned my lesson.
In case some real estate agent is watching this, noting down villa numbers. So tell me this, when people are spending 14, 15 million dirhams, you know, on a house, what's the most unexpected thing that you have seen them ask, like ask for discounts or like
agent commissions? Can you believe it?
No.
Yeah. Some of them will. I mean, that's the part that I just don't get sometimes. You know, they will ask you, would you consider taking a lower commission when you're buying a 15 million house? I mean, that's the part I just don't get it. But it's not then now. It's a seller's market now. So seller says a price and that's what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the price that you have to offer. So off late, these things weren't, I mean, aren't happening. But yes, initially, it used to happen.
So really today, properties are sold for the amount that they're listed for. Like, we are seeing crazy amounts. I keep getting Instagram reels, and on my TikTok, I keep seeing only houses sometimes. And the numbers are crazy. You're telling me properties are actually selling for that much?
So the gap between the seller and the buyer is widening, right? The sellers at a price and the buyers at a different price. So that's the supply and demand is where what's boosting the prices higher. It's making the prices go higher. There's too much of demand and less supply. So in the secondary market especially, it's very noticeable, you know. So sellers are getting their price, but it's a long wait. So sometimes even they have to wait for like 3 to 4 months, but they do get their price, or a marginal negotiation is possible. Mm-hmm. But this is where the trend is right now. I find that luxury properties, they will reach a correction because there's too much supply there, you know. But the affordable housing is where there is less supply and a lot of demand.
So we haven't peaked yet.
I think it will continue this year. I mean, my personal analysis is I don't see it slowing. I don't see it slowing. I mean, I still have like umpteen calls and I don't have enough of units to show people. So when this balances out is when you'll have a correction.
So in the secondary house market, I know that like off the top of my mind, I'm thinking of Springs, Arabian Ranches 2. Of course, there's the Villa, and there's so many other communities as well. Can you give us the, you know, top five based on popularity?
Okay, I would like to say the Villa. No, but I mean, if you say the best, so you have to base it on your requirement. Like if you are buying a property, what's the first thing you would look in terms of location? How close is this property to your work, to your children's school? Is it a gated community? Is it safe? What other facilities this community can provide you? Is there a clubhouse? Is there a gym? Hospital, good schools. These are things you would look for, right? So if it ticks off most of these boxes, and they, especially if it's closer to your work and others, I mean, that's the property I would go for. Five top communities, I would say, would be, I personally think Motor City, it's one of the best residential areas. Of course, the Villa, because Villa is still quite undervalued. I feel like we have large plots and still the prices are quite affordable comparatively to Arabian Ranches 1 or 2, which is 2 is quite new, but 1 is escalated in prices. It's again a lovely community.
Yeah.
It's EMAR. So they have the best facilities available. They have restaurants. It has a golf course. So these things are things that you have to look for in your top selection.
Nice. That's quite interesting to know. So like I was telling you, Sobi, my Instagram and my TikTok are full of property reels all the time. Do you make these as well?
No, not yet.
No, you're making your money without being a TikToker. All right. What I'm going to do now is we're going to play a little game, and I'm going to be playing out a reel for you. All
okay.
Right.
Huh.
And you're going to tell me in your best opinion, your honest opinion, if that is actually the price that villa should be selling for, that property should be selling for.
Okay.
All right.
Hmm.
And don't worry, none of these are conflict of interest to you.
Hmm.
Okay, ready?
What can you get in Dubai for $650,000? Follow me. Office. Bathroom. Kitchen. A beautiful dining room. Garden outside. And now let's go upstairs. Beautiful big bedroom, kids bedroom,
$660,000. Yeah,
and an amazing master room with ensuite bathroom, and a beautiful terrace with all the green on the front. And the best part is, only 7 months ago, cost was $430,000. And they expect the price over $1 million in the end of the construction. And the project name is Lamac Lagoons.
Tell me.
My case, I rest my case. No. I mean, in the sense, it's all legit.
It is.
Yeah, it is. It is all legit. And this is a show villa that she's taken you for a tour.
Yeah.
But when you are going to buy, you have to realize that this is a small house. It's the plot size would be close to 2,000 and the built up would be less than that. So is that something you're happy with when you're moving, migrating from an apartment into a home of your own?
Yeah.
Is this size okay for you?
So what are we talking at in terms of numbers? Let's just talk at 660,000 USD is 2.4 million dirhams. Mm. And what is the plot size approximately?
Easily maybe 2,000 and built up should be less than that.
You think that is something to consider here really?
Yeah, because I mean, if you were to come into a secondary market, you can get for like 4.5, you could get a 6,000 square feet land. I mean, look at your property. It's 6,000 square feet land, 3,600 built up. You get an independent house and you'll get a pool. So, I mean, when you compare, I mean, would you agree? It looks amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a show house. So obviously they've presented it well and made it look nice.
One thing that I have seen is I've seen show houses and I've seen finished villas. And I have seen that sometimes it's not... The show house is not what you finally get when the house is delivered. So that is the one thing you have to keep in mind when you're buying off plan, I think, right?
Yes. So off plan, yeah, you have to be very sure that you have the floor plans right and you're okay with those sizes. And you have to visualize that it's going to be not like the show home, right?
It's not.
And then the finish can't be. They obviously, show homes have a much superior finish.
It's the trailer.
Yeah, it's a trailer.
All right. Movie. We have a... 50 million dirham luxury Dubai mansion. You're going to tell us if this is worth the money, all right?
Yeah.
All right.
But the most expensive home for sale in Jumeirah Gulf States. Well, here it is. We're going to check it out. On the market for 50 million dirhams or just north of 11 million pounds. It has 6 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, over 11,308 square feet. Starting the tour off on the exterior, we have the double garage over here, tons of parking that way. You can see the architectural details from the outside, the stone finish with the white render, 3-meter door. Let's head inside. The entrance of this property is incredible, 12-meter ceiling height with a beautiful chandelier.
50 million dirhams.
I think it's worth it.
Golf estate, huh?
Yeah, golf estate. It's a really beautiful community and it's got amazing, it's like got cinemas and it's a beautiful community. And that house is brand new. So yes, that's the market where it's leaning. The prices where these big homes are leaning at.
But like if... I can't even imagine living in a house that expensive. My goodness me.
There is a huge market for luxury homes.
Wow. Gosh, I think I have a long way to go in life.
Yeah.
Like I thought this was it. I've reached. I've arrived. All right. Okay. Let's show you one more and then we will close this. I'm hoping to find a scam actually.
185 million dirhams. This penthouse is known as the penthouse in the sky. Everything I need is here under one roof. There's 4 huge bedrooms, a private home cinema,
a 2-level rooftop terrace offering an outdoor garden, and a private infinity lap pool.
185 million dirham penthouse in Dubai.
Yeah, overpriced.
Overpriced?
Yeah. But you know the funny part?
Yeah.
It would sell. Look at the view. Facing Burj Khalifa.
It's got a flashy, it's perfect for someone with a flashy lifestyle.
There are people who want these kind of homes, but apartment 185, I'm not convinced. But yes, I know of certain homes, private islands, homes that are having private beach access for 185 million. Nice. Yes, those totally worth it.
Yeah, and Messi comes to wake you up in the morning and Ronaldo takes the kids to school.
Did you know?
I want all this.
Yeah. So there's something called the Bulgari mansions.
Yes.
There's a whole Bulgari island, right, on Jumeirah Bay. And there are only 8 luxurious villas there.
Hmm.
So I do have 2 for sale. And Ronaldo owns one of them. Yeah. So those are totally worth it.
So how much does it cost to be Ronaldo's neighbor?
Yeah, 185 million.
Wow.
Yeah. But the entire property is on water. You have your own private island. You have your parking for your yachts, and it's a different ballgame altogether. And they're ready like this year, by middle of this year. So yes, I think there will be a person who will go for this, you know. There are people who are into luxurious homes.
Are these people single? I have some friends and family I want to introduce to these people.
Chandran is sweating from there.
Well, thank you so much, Sobhi. This is
most
so interesting.
Welcome.
I have so many more questions, actually. One off the top of my head now, I'm going to throw at you. Okay, so it looks like it's a, you know, it's a seller's market, like you said. You know, people are asking for big prices, even managing to get that amount. What are some reasons that deals don't go through?
I think a lot of people are not getting qualified by banks. Mm-hmm. Some of them are mortgage buyers. So there are a lot of them who are not getting the loan. They are confident. They get sometimes even up to the stage of pre-approval. But there is a certain percentage that... And also the Dubai is getting very strict on AML.
What is AML?
Anti-money laundering. You have to... They are doing a lot of background checks. And a lot of times you get pulled out as a realtor also. I mean, our company can fall into trouble if we don't get these signed by all our buyers. So there are chances of these going, you know, south.
Interesting.
Many times.
Is it possible that sellers are sometimes so difficult that they are the reason that their property is not selling?
Yes. So sellers need to... you know, constantly keep updated with the transaction reports that are happening, the sales in their community. They have to. So a lot of times when I meet a seller for the first time, I do take transaction reports that's happened over the last 3 months. And I try to educate them, like, this is the price for your property. Yes, this one is sold higher probably because it's renovated. But this is the stretch for the pricing. And this is the limit that we can go up to. But sometimes people, you know, they are very passionate about their homes and you can't challenge that. That's his price. So we have to work around that. But I do feel like as a broker, it's my duty to let the seller know the actual price. A lot of times sellers do get upset when they hear that, you know, it's not at the price that they're wanting. And at the same time, I have to tell the buyer also, yes, the price is high. Do you want to look at alternatives? So I have to, you know, be the middleman there and, you know, make sure that both of them get a fair deal.
Yeah, I love that about you, Sobhi, that you play it fair, you play it honest. And honestly, this has been very educational for me as well. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, bring Alex and the kids and come so we can just hang out and chill together. Right, Chandran?
Sure. Long overdue.
Much overdue. All right. So that was our episode today. Thank you for joining us on Hey Karish. We'll be back very soon with another interesting guest right here on what we like to believe is the most authentic storytelling podcast out there.
Hey, my name is Sobhi. You've seen me here now at Hey Karish. Don't forget to like, subscribe and share. I'm responsible for this beautiful setting here. And if you'd like an equally amazing house, do give me a call.